looks like at least all of us remembered that to change our clocks, right? The next service probably will have a lot of people who didn't remember to change their clocks. But we're glad you're here. You know, Bo talked in his communion thought about sometimes we have a tendency as humans to focus on the negative and not on the positive. I can remember many times in life where somebody will come to me and say, you know, I got this extra money. A check came to me that I wasn't expecting. And I was so thankful to get that extra money. And then the next day, my car broke down. And they were almost like mad because now they got this extra money, but their car broke down. Now they got to spend it on their car. And my comment to them was, well, just think if you wouldn't have gotten that money, now you still have to pay for the car. And so at least you had the money to pay for it. And so God got out ahead of that for you and helped you. But people don't want to look at things that way. We like to look at the negative. We like to downplay the positive things. And I remember reading a story in a book that Chuck Swindoll wrote about this farmer who loved to duck hunt. And so this farmer decided that he was going to go out. He was going to find the smartest and the most expensive dog he could find because, again, his goal was to impress the guys that he hunts with. There's this group of guys, and I'm not a duck hunter, so I don't claim to be. But he wanted to impress these guys, so he went out and got this dog. And then he trained the dog to walk on water. He thought that would be really cool, and they won't be able to top this one because it's always a matter of getting one up on the other guys. So he gets the dog, he works with the dog, he trains him, and finally the day comes for the group of guys to go hunting. So they do, they go out on the boat, and the dog gets in the boat, and they go kind of off the shore there, and they shoot their first group of ducks. And all of a sudden, the farmer says to his dog, go get him. And so the dog jumps out of the boat, runs across the top of the water, grabs the duck, brings it back, drops it in the boat, goes back for the second one, and so forth. About three or four ducks later, he jumps back in the boat. Well, the farmer's pretty proud. Man, look at this dog. It's better than anything you guys have ever had. Isn't this? What'd you think of my dog? And one of the hunters looked at him and said, well, you know, my question is, that silly dog, he doesn't even know how to swim. So he found the negative in that situation. He downplayed the fact that this dog could walk on water. Well, you know what? That's kind of what happens in the passage that we're going to look at this morning, because we're going to get into this passage of Jesus and Peter walking on water. But unfortunately, a lot of times when people reflect back on this group of passages, they remember the fact that Peter sank. Not that he walked on water for a few seconds, but that he sank. Or not that he got out of the boat, but that he sank. They focus on the bad things, the negative side of that. But before we get into the passage today, I want to just go back a little bit to bring us back together from last week. Pastor Jeff spoke last week about the feeding of the 5,000. You remember we talked that was 5,000 men, so there could have been 10,000, 15,000. We don't know how many total people were there that they fed. And as I was listening to that message last week, and I told Jeff later in the week, I said, the thing that came to my mind was, can you imagine that little boy? Not in his wildest dreams that morning when he got up and his mom gave him that 5 loaves and 2 fish and put it in a bag and sent him off. Not in his wildest dreams did he imagine that that was going to feed 10 or 15,000 people and that Jesus, God himself on earth, was going to talk to that boy and to use what he had to do what he did. What a miracle that was. But that's the situation that had happened, and right after this happened is when we're going to get into what we're going to talk about today. You see, the crowd was still there, and they were like unbelievably impressed with Jesus because they were kind of looking for the wrong things. They were looking for someone to come, and they thought maybe Jesus was going to be the guy. He was going to come, and he was going to be their king, their political savior. He was going to rescue them from the Romans. And you see, they didn't get it that he was the king of the world and that he was there for their salvation. They were looking for a king to get them out of the tough situation that they were in. And so Jesus, in the fact that he saw how they were getting all worked up over this, he decided to get the disciples and get them out of this drama and get them into the boat and told them to go ahead without him and that he would catch up later. And then as he dismissed the crowd then, he decided to go and to go into the mountainside and pray. You know, a little bit again about the Sea of Galilee. I don't know how much you've studied the Gospels, But most of, a lot of what Jesus did, a lot of the things he performed, the miracles, the ministry of Jesus took place around this Sea of Galilee. And this was a big sea. It was the largest freshwater body in Israel. Probably around, they say, 13 miles by 7.5 miles in diameter with spots over 200 feet deep. So this was a big lake, a big sea. And also one of the things they noted was that it was also a lake in which storms crept up before you knew it. And that happens around here. I don't know if any of you have been out on Lake Michigan before, and a storm comes up so fast sometimes you can't even get shelter. We were, our small group was out at the lake a couple years ago riding bikes, and we could see the storm coming across the lake, and so we decided we better get back to the cars. So we rode back to our cars, got our bikes put away, and no more did we get the door shut. And the rain just came down like crazy. I mean, that storm just came across that lake so quickly. And so that's what these guys were up against. They were out in this middle of this lake, and it was a storm was coming. And Jesus was back on the hillside praying. And that's where we find ourselves today as we look at this group of passages that we're going to study. But before we get into this account, would you bow with me? Father God, I just thank you so much for this lesson that you're giving us. I thank you, Lord God, for this account that we can study today and the fact that there are so many messages, so many life lessons in this group of verses. And I just pray that we can see those this morning, focus in on a few, and figure out how they can help us. So, Lord, I pray that right now that you will open our hearts and our minds to what you have to say to us. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take a look, starting at Matthew 14, 22. This is where the account starts. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. Remember, get rid of the disciples, get them out to sea, get them away from the drama, and then he would take care of the situation there. And the key point there is that the disciples obeyed Jesus. They wanted to stay with him. I mean, after all, he had just fed 10, 15,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. They wanted to stay with him, but no, Jesus knew that the best thing for them was to send them off. So that's what he did. We see in verse 23, after he had dismissed them, he went up into the mountainside by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. You see, Jesus left the crowd behind to pray. Now you think, well, why does Jesus need to go and pray? He's God. But Jesus understood and he realized the importance of time alone with his Father. And he realized that what he needed most right then was to pray. You see, he wasn't worried about the disciples. He knew he would take care of them. He just wanted to go and to pray because that's what he needed to do. We see that also, another version of that in the other gospel, John, where he says, after the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, the feeding of the 5,000, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who has come into the world. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself to pray. We see in verse 25, it says, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the water, walking on the lake. It took him to about 4 o'clock in the morning, somewhere in that range, the fourth watch. So he wasn't in a big hurry. He stayed on that mountainside and prayed for quite a while. And then Jesus walked across the top of the water out to his disciples. You see, by this time, Jesus knew that they were in trouble. He knew that they were in the midst of the storm. He knew that they had been rowing for hours out in the middle of the lake and going nowhere quick. And so he knew they were struggling. But when he heard them cry out, what did Jesus do? He stopped to help. In verse 26, it says, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. See, by this time, they're all scared to death. They feel like they're going to die. They're going to drown. Does that sound familiar? When Jesus calmed the sea a couple weeks ago when Rick spoke about that. The disciples saw someone walking on the water, but they thought it was a ghost. See, they still did not realize who Jesus really was. And actually, no one had ever walked on water. They had never seen anyone walk on water. We've never seen anyone probably walk on water, as far as I know. So it was a thing to them that actually scared them in some ways. And so they cried out in fear. But why didn't they know who it was when they first saw him? Why were they surprised that Jesus would be there when he was most needed? Does that sound familiar? When we most need Jesus, he appears. I always heard a saying that said that Jesus was, that he was seldom early, but never late. Has that happened in your life? It has happened in mine. You know, it's when we, at the last minute, we feel we're ready to go under and drown, Jesus appears. He didn't come earlier, so we didn't go through the storm. That's the key point. He gets there when it's time to get there. In verse 27, it says, "But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid.'" And with that, they had some peace finally. At least the fact that they knew that Christ was going to be with them. He reassured them and told them not to be afraid. But here's the point, is that the wind kept blowing and the boat kept rocking even at this point. Jesus did not stop the storm. They expected him to, but he didn't. And the reason is because the purpose of the storm is to help them grow in their faith. The purpose of the storms in our life is the same, to help us grow in our faith. Verse 28, "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." You see, Peter wants Jesus to tell him to come. He wanted to get out of the boat. Are we like that, or are we hoping that Jesus does not call on us to get out of the boat? You know, I don't know about you, but in school sometimes when a teacher starts calling on people to give answers or to make statements and you're not real confident in the subject, you know, you're kind of like ducking your head and hiding in the back and hoping that no one calls on you. The teacher doesn't call on you. I know I'm that way when I'm in public and there's a game going on where they ask people to come up and I'm like hiding, trying to hide behind people. I do not want to go. But you know what it seems like always happens is that that's who the teacher always calls on, and that's who always gets called is the one that's trying to hide. But that's what was happening. And Peter wanted to come. He wanted to get out of the boat. Verse 29 says, here's Jesus' answer. "Come," he said. And then Peter got out of the boat, walked on water, and came toward Jesus. He got out of the boat. Now, again, remember, big ocean or big sea, 220-foot deep, the boat's rocking everywhere, they're about to go, and this storm, the waves are tremendous, and Peter gets out of the boat. He listens to Jesus. He obeys what Jesus said. It goes on, though, to say, "But when he saw the wind," this is when Peter was stepped out of the boat and he starts to walk and he turns around and he sees the boat rocking, he sees the waves blowing, all of a sudden, things change. So it says, then Peter walked on the water, came to Jesus. Then it goes on to say that he was afraid and he began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Again, does that sound familiar for us? We get ourselves in trouble or hot water or problems or the storms of life and we can't handle it anymore, and so we cry out to Jesus to help us. You see, Peter doubted his faith and took his eyes off of Jesus. So he began to sink. Just like us, when we take our eyes off of Jesus and we doubt him, in which we do so often. See, now we can criticize Peter. Right, here's the point, is that we could criticize Peter for losing faith and sinking into the water. Because after all, that's what he did. When he looked back, he saw him, he was in fear, and he started to sink. And we let things of this world distract us as well. So what happens is we have our eyes focused on Jesus. And then all of a sudden, things start happening. The storm starts happening all around us. Life starts to go bad, and we switch our focus from Jesus to the things of this world. And we become distracted, and when we do, we start to sink. When Peter started to sink, he called out to Jesus for help. And sure enough, Jesus responded and helped Peter. Do we do the same? When we're struggling in life, do we call out to Jesus to help? And if we do, doesn't he always come? Never late. Seldom early. But he's always there for us. There are a number of passages in the Bible that cover this subject of us having faith in Christ. And I want to just look at a few of those. There's one we find in Hebrews 12:2. Where it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We find in 1 John 4:4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, and because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Huge passage that God is greater than anything we face in this world. Anything. Proverbs 3:5, which Pastor Jeff spoke of last week. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In life, things happen all the time that we can't understand. I don't know about you, but it does for me. I ask questions just all the time. Why? Why does this happen? Why is this happening? We can't understand because we have human minds, because we don't think like God thinks. But we have no reason to doubt because God is always in control. We have to remember that. That will help us face the storm. The storms, though, continue to rage. And God did not remove them from the storm. He doesn't remove us from the storm, but what he does is he walks with us through the storm. He is there with each one of us in the storms of our life. So if you think that maybe you can pray that God will remove you from the storm, it's probably not going to happen. Because he wants your faith to grow. And he knows that through the storms of life, our faith grows. And so, but he doesn't let us do it alone. He's there with us. He walks with us. In verse 31, it says, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? You see, he saw Peter going under the water, and he reached out, and he grabbed Peter's hand, and he saved him from drowning. And then he asked him, why did you lose your faith? Here's some of the reasons that we usually lose our faith, because we become scared, fear, lack of trust. We believe in Jesus. We've accepted him as our Savior, but things are pretty bad right now, and I don't know if I can totally trust him to get me out of this. And so we lose faith. John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. You see, you read that passage and you think, man, I have, basically, in this world, there's trouble. You're like, oh, man. But then he follows it right up with, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus is bigger than any problem that any of us can ever have. So we go on to verse 32. And when they climbed into the boat, the winds died down. Jesus and Peter walked back to the boat together. Key point. Jesus didn't tell Peter, swim back. He didn't tell Peter, good luck, I hope you make it back to the boat. I'm on my way. But instead, he got Peter up, and they walked back to the boat together. And then they got back in the boat, and then, and only then, did the storm calm down once they were safe. Not before. Never early. Seldom late. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. See, now the disciples worshiped Jesus. And they told him, truly, you are the Son of God. Finally, they get it. They realize who Jesus is. It's believed to be the first time that the disciples actually said that. That you are the Son of God. So finally, the disciples understood what was going on. And Jesus showed them by this miracle who he was. So this morning, I want to take the rest of our time to understand this lesson from this account that talks about getting out of the boat. Because I think there's a number of messages, a number of lessons in these passages. You could probably do 3 or 4 or 5 sermons easily on these group of verses. But what I want us to focus on for the rest of our time is the fact that about getting out of the boat and how critical and important that was. You see, the Bible has many accounts of men and women who had faith in God and that were willing to get out of the boat. Think about Noah in the ark. Can you imagine his friends watching him build this huge boat because he says that there's going to be a flood that's going to destroy the world? They were laughing at him. But you see, he had faith, and he did what Jesus told him to do, and God told him to do, and he built the ark. Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees to go into the promised land. Moses led his people out of Egypt. Joshua marched around the walls of Jericho. David defeated Goliath. Again, can you imagine little David fighting huge Goliath? And the soldiers looking at him like, you're crazy. You're going to die. But what happened? He won. God won. Elijah faced down the prophets of Baal. Esther risked everything to save her people. Daniel refused to defile himself with the king's food, and he faced the lions and lived. Nehemiah led the Jews to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. So we can see there were so many men and women of faith. God has worked in the lives of many believers throughout time, and he is working in the lives of believers today as well, if we let him. This miracle, like all other miracles, was done to point people to God and to his greatness. God didn't do miracles to impress people. He didn't do miracles like people do magic tricks to draw a crowd. He performed miracles in order for them to see God and how great God was and is. There was even a life lesson in what happened after this account. When they reached the other side at Gennesaret near Capernaum and Bethsaida, Jesus healed many more people. But do you think that they realized that Jesus had just come through a storm to get to them? Do we remember that Jesus endured the storm of judgment to save us? He endured the storms for us so that we would never have to face the judgment of God. So this morning, my question for all of us, including myself, is, are we going to get out of the boat? Are we going to have the faith of Peter, the faith in God, to get out of our boat and follow him? How does this look for us today in today's world? In what ways does God want us to get out of our boat and walk by faith? There's many ways. Just a few I'm going to mention. Maybe he's calling us to trust him with our time and with our talents, to give them to him without worry of what might happen, of how we can fit everything else into our life if we give this much time to God. Or if we give our gifts to God or our talents to God, what's going to happen to them? Will we have enough time to do them on our own, to make a living or to do something else? I mean, God wants us to use our time and to use our talents for him. Are we willing to get out of our boat and do that? Maybe he's calling us to trust him with our service to him, even if it calls us out of our comfort zone. Are we doing what God has called us to do? Are we passionately involved in the ministry that God has equipped us to do? That's questions we have to ask ourselves. Are we not just are we involved, but are we passionately involved in serving in an area that God wants us and has gifted us to do? Maybe he's calling us to trust him with our finances, to give like we've never gave before, as Dave Ramsey would say, knowing that God will meet our needs. We need to trust him. Well, if I do this, I might not have enough to do this. Well, trust him. Trust in God. He wants us to keep our eyes on him. Maybe he wants us to get out of our comfort zone and trust him with our whole life, even during the storms that we're going through. Sometimes we feel that because we're in a storm, we really aren't much good to God. We don't have time because we're trying to fight the storm. We don't have time to do things. But you know what? Even in the midst of the storm, Jesus is telling us to get out of the boat. So let's examine our lives and see if we just need to get out of the boat and have faith to let God protect us. We can say that Peter did not keep his eyes on Jesus and that he sank and had to be rescued, but at least he got out of the boat. He listened to Jesus when he said, come. Do we? Do I? Because Jesus does. He says to all of us at times, come, follow me. It's easy for us to look at others and say, why don't they do something? Whatever it may be. But maybe God's calling us to do the whatever. Maybe he wants us to do that. If we see a need in the church or in our community, maybe we just need to get out of our boat and handle it instead of just pointing out the need to someone else while remaining in the boat. That could be the case. So in closing, let's review the main points of this teaching today. First of all, the obedience of the disciples to get in the boat and start out without Jesus. That's right off the bat, they were obedient. They did what Christ told them to do, even though they wanted to stay behind. That's something we need to get away by ourselves sometimes and pray. You know, sometimes we need to just do the same thing in our life. Just get away from all the hustle and the bustle of the world, all the stress of our jobs or our life or our family or whatever it may be, and get alone in a place where you can find to be close to God. I know for me personally, I use the car for that a lot. Over my career, I've spent a lot of hours driving in the car. And I use that time well. Because it's a time for me to think and to pray, to contemplate, to just think about God and what he wants me to do. And it's been a good thing. We all need to find that place in our life where we can go and pray. If Jesus found it a need, I'm sure it's a need for us. Jesus showed his disciples that he was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. And he pointed that out to him by the miracle of walking on water. And then the next point was that Peter was willing to get out of the boat. Unlike the other disciples, no one else was calling to Jesus, call me. They were all just fighting the storm, struggling to stay alive. But then Peter lost his faith and started to sink. The need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus and not let the things of life distract us was the lesson there. We all need to do that. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep our eyes focused squarely on him, and we can get through the storms of life. And finally, Jesus says to Peter to get in the boat, and they walked together back to the boat. He didn't make him go alone, and he didn't stop the storm. I know that's hard, because I know that many of you this morning are going through storms in your life. Every week, we have people talk to us, or we run across people that are struggling in life in so many different ways. Satan is attacking your families. Satan is attacking this world that we live in. And so I know that we're all facing certain kinds of storms. And as most of the songs we sang this morning, and as this account of Jesus and Peter walking on water points out to all of us, is it God will be there with us through the storm. He won't pull us out of it. He won't stop the storm necessarily, but he will always be with you so you don't have to face it alone. So today, the challenge for all of us is to be like Peter and get out of the boat. Obey Jesus and follow him and do what he's called you to do and trust him. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this account this morning. I thank you for Peter. Thank you, Lord, for his willingness to get out of the boat. I know, Lord, for us at times it's really difficult to trust you. We say we do when things are going well, but when things are going bad, sometimes we just don't have enough faith. Sometimes we do. And sometimes, Lord, it's in those storms of life that we are flat on our back, forced to look up at you and cry out for help, like Peter did. And Lord, I just want us all to know that just like Peter, when we do that, you will reach down and you will grab our hand and you will bring us out of the danger and that you will walk with us through the storm. And Lord God, we are just so thankful to have you as our God, as our Lord, and as our Savior. In your name we pray.